Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You are listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I am Tracy Brickman.
And we're going to get right into it, Tracy. I can't wait to hear it. What is your hot take?
My hot take, everyone's talking about AI, and I think AI has not created a saturation problem like a lot of people talk about, but it has exposed an execution and a positioning problem.
I am dying to get into this conversation because I'm working on a pitch right now for a company that wants to get into AI, and I'm a little worried that they want to get into it for the wrong reasons. So tell me more about your thought here. What is the positioning problem that we are seeing with AI? Why is it not saturation?
You know, I think the angle I'm coming at it from is, I'm going to talk for a minute from the make money online space, which was where I kind of live at. And my podcast focuses on, and everyone's talking about it's too crowded and AI has ruined it and the market's saturated. And I don't buy that. I don't think AI has killed opportunity, but what it has killed is lazy positioning. Because if you think about it, years ago, maybe even 2 years ago, people could get away with quote unquote generic offers. Hey, I do social media management. I do copywriting. I do digital products. Well, with AI, everyone can do the generic stuff and they can do it in seconds, right? But now, so that kind of, you know, scratches that surface level stuff. And if that's all you're doing, that opportunity, I think, is saturated. But there's a deeper issue in that people don't actually, most people don't actually have a competition problem because of this. They have an execution problem. Here's what I mean. They sit back. These are business people, the entrepreneurs like you and me. They sit back, they consume, they research, they tweak their logos, maybe even tweak their website. What do? Then they don't ship, they buy another course and they take another lesson and they go to another seminar. They never ship. The winners, even with the AI era, aren't the ones that I think are the most technical or have the best WYSIWYGs, right? They're the ones. They're not the ones with the fanciest funnels, that's for sure. But they are the ones who built something small, polished it really fast, and improve it in public, right in front of everyone. They're not worried about getting a little egg on their face because they're spending time refining their position around real problems that can only find out by putting something out there and letting AI reward that momentum. And let, you know, everyone else get punished by perfectionism. Does that make sense?
I am laughing so hard at this because we did not talk about this beforehand. Like, this is my first time, like, meeting you, having this conversation. As you were talking, I wrote down the only things that I have ever built that failed were things I failed to build in public.
Oh, yes.
And it is exactly that. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've done a bunch of things. And every time I try to build in, like, stealth mode, in which I, like, go into my quiet corner and create, it has not worked. It has not gone anywhere. Like it, you're right. I sit in the corner and I think and I dream and I dream and I dream. And I'm a builder, right? I love the thrill of the solve. So I will sit there happily all day long, just building my little thing. But the things that I have had are the things that I, one, built for myself for my own purposes, and two, built very publicly and didn't necessarily care that it wasn't perfect. Those are the things that have done well. Those are the things that have taken off. Yeah. And I think part of my problem is that, and I have to, like, actively get myself out of this, right? But nobody cares more about what you're doing than you do. So when you post something, people might laugh at you for like 10 minutes and then they're going to move on. You might think about that post for the rest of your life or that thing that you shipped for the rest of your life. They will not.
They will not. They've forgotten you 10 seconds after this. They've scrolled past you, if they even bothered to pay attention to the post in the first place.
It probably didn't. Like, how many, like, AI is not saturated. I agree with your point and your talking point. I think what AI is doing to, and you made this point as well, is AI is saturating the generic, crappy, lazy offers that we do because it's easy to do it now and it's easy to be lazy. But the people who really have something to offer, a real thing that people want, AI is never going to be able to do that for you because AI regresses to the mean. We are creating things from the generic way people exist on the internet.
On the money.
And if you have something of value to offer, AI is not going to create it for you. And putting it out there means that you are automatically going to stand out because you're kind of stepping away from the AI slop that hangs out in the middle.
AI slop. That's the magic phrase right there that gets used. It gets used a little bit too much. I say that because, you know, I'll take my podcast and I use AI to clip it up and try to give that value out there. And then I also create standalone social posts that go with it. And I do all the recording at the same time. So I use AI to clip it up and push it out there. And because I'm pushing so much at times, I'll get those negative comments. We're like, oh, this is AI slop. And I'm like, sadly, it's not. This is the real me. This is because who's going to make an AI influencer that looks like this? Nobody, I don't think.
No,
right?
We're all going to be hot 18-year-old girls. Like, that's thank you. What is, that's what gets attention. I scroll on TikTok and I see a girl just smiling to the camera. She's got millions of likes. I'm like, what is this? Right? But that's the way the internet functions.
It is, sadly. Yeah.
So if we're kind of in wild agreement that AI is taking us to the middle and the real entrepreneurs, the real builders, whether you're talking about starting a small business, opening a shop on Main Street, or doing the make money online thing, how do we create experiences that leverage AI to help us go faster and to be more effective without falling into that real AI slop kind of level?
Bringing your, and you kind of leaned into this a little bit, but bringing your unique aspect to it. I'm gonna go back to a piece of philosophy I learned way back as a teenager from Bruce Lee, of all people. And he has this saying, is like, you absorb what's useful, you discard the rest, and then you add something that's uniquely you. Well, as entrepreneurs and as lifelong learners, which you kind of have to be an entrepreneur, you're absorbing all these things and you're deciding what's useful. All right, this is useful. I'm going to work on this right now. But then you have to add what's uniquely you. And only you can do that. To your point, AI is never going to be able to do that. I could put my entire life into AI and AI would never spit it out the way I would working with a local business or a parent trying to do a side hustle. So that's where you really play the human aspect. Okay, here's what we need to do. And then you look at the business and or the scenario and you use your experience and add something that's uniquely you to give them that opportunity. Then you hop onto AI and say, now I need to do this faster. Here's what we're doing, A, B, C, D, and F. Give me the fastest path to riches.
I think the uniquely you thing is easier said than done, I think, in today's like social media age. So I kind of grew up in the world of social media. It was coming out when I was in high school and in college. And so I look back at some of the things that I posted back on Facebook back when it was like, I don't know if anyone remembers, but it would be like, Alyssa is, and then you'd fill in the blank. And now I'm looking at those and I'm like, oh my gosh, these are super cringe. But I think we have to figure out, how do we exist in this social media age when there is so much fear around being uniquely you and letting your freak flag fly for whatever you care about on the internet? Because, and actually, side note, that's one of the reasons I got into podcasting is I was an entrepreneur. We merged with another company. I felt like I kind of lost my identity in that merger. And as I left that company, I said, okay, I need to figure out who I am again and what excites me and what interests me. So I started a podcast called Taking Back Monday, in which I had conversations with people about leadership and business building and entrepreneurship and growth and trying to get back to those things that I cared about. I did eventually find my way back, but I really kind of had a crisis of confidence because I didn't know who I was anymore, uniquely was.
Yeah.
So if somebody is resonating with that feeling of maybe they don't know uniquely who they are or what is there uniquely to offer, how do we find that?
Well, it's funny you mention this. I went through that very same thing. I was doing this podcast about personal development, and it hit me as one time I was getting on the mic going, here's all the amazing things you need to do to make your life just amazing. And meanwhile, I was going through the wicked divorce. I was going through bankruptcy and the whole nine yards, and imposter syndrome hit me. And I hung up my microphone for a couple of years to do just what you're asking about. And for me, it was about sitting down and looking back into those dark moments where it's like, okay, wait a minute. I took a left turn right there. I probably should have went right. Why? Was it, you know, environmental? Was it spiritual? Was it relationship? Because I truly believe in my heart of hearts that God, Buddha, Allah, Mother Nature, whoever you believe in, is going to put a lesson in front of you for you to learn, for you to level up. And if you don't learn that lesson, guess what? They're going to put it in front of you again, and they're going to turn the volume up. And they're not going to go from 1 to 2 and 2 to 3. They're going to go from 1 to 7 and 7 to 28 until you finally learn the lesson or die trying. So for me, it was about looking back at those moments and going, what can I learn from that? I didn't spend my time asking whose fault was it or how could I have avoided it. I lived it. Now, what lesson can I glean from it? So from addiction to the loss of a daughter to the wicked bank, you know, the wicked divorce and the bankruptcy that I just mentioned. What lessons of positivity can I learn from those? And because each one of those experiences have made me who I am today. Luckily, I'm proud to say I am who I am today. Not always proud of the things I've done to get here, but I can't deny them. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And I can hear the voices of the listeners as they sit there and say, well, I'm a professional. I'm a business professional. I'm selling B2B software or whatever I'm selling. And I can hear them being worried about, like, their personal life seeping into their professional life. And my message to those of you who are hearing that is, your buyers, your customers, your coworkers, you're all humans, even though you work for a business that sells to other businesses. Like, your customers might be another business, but there's a human buyer making the decision. And so, you know, as you're talking, I think it's okay to be a human being who maybe has learned some lessons in the past and is always moving forward. Yeah. Right. And again, back to my point earlier, there's nobody thinking about you more than you are. And so as you learn those lessons, you're the one who's learning them and retaining them. Someone might watch you learn that lesson. However, that doesn't necessarily mean they're thinking about it beyond the moment that it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And to those same folks that are maybe, you know, doing the sales, the person that you're trying to make that sale to, whether it's across the telephone or across the conference table, is another person, and they're going through things as well. And if you can make a connection, and the only way you're going to make that connection is by sincerely caring enough to try and connect, you're going to have to be a person to do that. And we've all come across those salespeople that are amazing connectors. And you're like, I didn't need what he was selling when he walked in the door, but I had to buy it because, and maybe you're scratching your head going, I really didn't need to buy it, but you almost felt like you wanted to, right? You were moved into it. That's a special kind of salesperson there. And they make amazing livings as long as they do it ethically. We've seen those sides, you know, when they don't do it so ethically, because they're like, oh, I know how to manipulate you into buying Emma.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, you start feeling that energy coming off them as well. If you're connected to yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
I think one of the things that I remind myself in any kind of sales process or when I'm trying to build something and create connections with customers, I use an acronym called Gets It Once It Has the Capacity to Buy It. And I specifically, to your point, use the word wants it instead of needs it. Because there's a lot of things as people that we need. We're much more likely to buy the thing that we want. I don't know about you, my impulse control, not as always good as it should be. And so I think you made a good point there, though, is that sometimes we might not need something, but if we feel some urge, some want, some desire to do it, we'll probably do it anyway. And we've all met that person that makes you feel like you've known them their entire lives, even though you just met, right?
Yeah.
And there's something about that. Like, some people are just charismatic, right? But part of being charismatic is making people feel like they know you. And in order for them to feel like they know you, you have to be vulnerable and open and share things
there it is.
That you you maybe wouldn't if they weren't a good friend, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have that veneer of neutral, like if you are the beigest person on the planet, then people won't feel like they know you. They'll feel like they know a caricature of you. And people want to know the person that they're buying from. It's a trust exchange.
Yeah, it totally is. And you don't have to be extreme in any, you know, any swing of the needle either way. You don't have to be super quirky or super sterile. You can just be a little to the left or a little to the right, whichever phrase you want to eat, a little back, a little forward. It's just stay out of the middle all the time, because we all have personal preferences. And if they ask you, don't like, well, what do you think? No, go ahead and answer the question they asked you, and but leave it open for them to come back and be ready for them to be, oh, well, I actually think that it's better over here. It's okay to disagree, right? We can still discuss these things. Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, it is okay to disagree. I know social media tells you it's not okay, but it really is.
Yeah, and I want to take it back to your original hot take, because I think we've said this, and I want to really drive it home for the listeners. AI is saturating the middle, right? The mundane. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big user of AI, so don't get me wrong. This is not a podcast meant to to make you say,
no, AI I is am bad. Too.
I love my AI. I use it every day. But AI is currently designed to power the mundane in your life, right? Mm-hmm. To help you polish a sentence, to help you think through an idea, but it's never going to be you. So if you can take that mundane thing that AI spits out for you and figure out how to wrap it in what makes it you, then you've got something magical, right?
Yeah.
Because too many people think AI is this magic thing that will make them greater, smarter, prettier, sexier, more talented than they are. But that's not the truth. It's just something mundane in the middle, and you make it prettier, sexier, smarter, there whatever you want it to be, than it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you 100% on that. And you can use AI, as you well know, to dig around, to go a little deeper, right? Some people call it training your AI, which isn't entirely untrue, but certainly it gives you the surface level. And you're like, well, how about this? And you again, we come back to adding a little bit of you. Here's what I think. And let's mix that in there. And maybe it gives you three ideas and you're like, oh, I like a little bit of this one, I like a little bit of that one. Let's put that together. Plus, let's also sprinkle in that, right? If you have this back and forth, like a trusted friend, right? Like a mentor or a confidant or even a consultant, there's a best way to look at it, as a consultant, and you bounce these ideas back and forth, you're going to end up coming up with something that still has the uniquely you part, but you might not have thought of all on your own.
Yeah. And I think that comes down to how you use it. Because at the end of the day, AI is a tool. And, you know, you might be better at using a forklift than I am because I've never driven one before. But like, that doesn't mean that I can't figure out how to use it. So I think it's a skill that you learn. So for example, in my custom instructions for my AI, I have things like, you will push back on me if I am wrong. You are my sparring thought partner. You are not just here to tell me I'm, you know, smart and talented, even though I obviously am. You are not here to tell me these things and be nice to me. You are here to tell me the truth. You are here to push back when I am wrong. Always assume that I am open for feedback or dialogue or discussion or disagreement. And I think I was just having this conversation with someone recently about how AI, like every software, is designed to get you to use it, because that's how the company makes money. If you're continuing to use it, continuing to pay your subscription fees.
Yes.
And a lot of times we like when we are agreed with and told we are smart and talented and, you know, the smartest person on the planet and really thoughtful. And so I think we have to be careful as we're engaging with these AIs and trying to create content and think original thoughts, that we're not falling into some kind of like addiction mechanism in the same way that we have with social media, where we get the good feeling from a robot telling us we're smart.
Yes. Yeah. Giving you the pat on the back and the achievement award.
The validation. Hey, that's the word I was looking for.
Validation. Yeah. You're amazing. Meanwhile, you're like, something doesn't feel right here, right? Listen to that, you know, that gut feeling that's inside there. But yeah, certainly go into your custom instructions and push the limits. Tell it to challenge you to, you know, who knows where it's going to go. I know I don't use the custom instructions past that because inside the individual chats, I will say, here's what we're doing here. That way I keep the projects alone. But, you know, especially in OpenAI, it will read across the different projects and you have to be careful of that as well.
Yeah, I've had that actually where it got confused because I did a bad thing. I was asking it medical questions because I couldn't deal with like figuring out how to Google it all. But I was asking questions about my son and then myself another time. And it was like, oh, because you have X, Y, Z. I'm like, no, I don't have that. My son has that. And it was a separate chat. And so like did get confused because it didn't recognize that like in this chat over here, we're talking about one person. In that chat over there, we're talking about someone else.
Yep.
So AI is not as smart as we all think it is. The word intelligence is, you know, doing a lot for it there. It may get there someday, probably will. But I think that we have to figure out what in a world of robots, people still want humanity. And so how do we create that feeling of I'm still a human, even though I'm behind a computer screen?
Yeah. Well, I think the big piece of that is get out there and interact with other humans. Even if it's like opportunities like this to hop on a Zoom call, you're still on a screen, but I know I'm not talking to an AI. I'm talking to another human being. We're exchanging thoughts and emotions back and forth and be open. I'm a big fan of engaging with people. I'm lucky enough to have the courage to approach a complete stranger and just say, hey, what's up? Right? If we're at an event together, there's something we already have in common. Maybe it's a concert. Maybe it's a festival. Right? I'll happily say, hey, what do you think of these guys up on stage right now? And I know more often than not, I'll get the, like, who are you? Do I know you? Did I forget your face and your name? And I'm okay with that. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable to get over that barrier that some people think is normal. I don't know where along the way we as a society have started putting up these walls around us, digital or otherwise, that we can't just strike up a conversation and just say, hey, what's up? And here's another thing, because obviously I'm a little longer in the tooth. Because I'm so willing to do it, I have to be careful about not doing it to attract women. And because it comes across completely different. No, really, I'm not hitting on you. I'm married. There's my wife right there kind of thing. And even still, there's those weird lines that we've drawn in the sand for maybe valid reasons, maybe invalid reasons. I'm off on a tangent. Sorry. Let me bring myself back in here.
I actually think that that's a really important point because it comes down to knowing your audience, right?
You just
demonstrated the perfect real life example of knowing your audience. And this was obviously in a casual, like just talking to other people sense, right? But you have to know your audience super deeply. You just said, I'm not going to go talk to someone over there because it'll freak them out. It's because you knew your audience in that conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that is maybe the key to what we've been talking about this whole time is be yourself and know your audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, God willing, in the river don't rise, you're drawing the people from your audience that resonate with who you are.
Yeah.
And if you're putting up that fake wall, then they're going to come in because they're resonating with who you've pretended to be. And then the chinks in the armor, the cracks in the, you know, the facade are going to start to show. And you're actually going to start pushing them away. They're going to like, something's not congruent here, right? Something was the way you acted or what you said or what you're doing is different than what I'm perceiving. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're just you, warts and all, right? I'm not going to put the A up and look like the 18-year-old hot girl. No, I'm just the 60-some-year-old dude from Wisconsin. Beard and Americana and flags and airborne and weirdness and the whole nine yards, people are going to go, cool. I can click with that. And here's the cool thing. If they don't click with you, they're not going to hang around and suck up your time.
Oh my gosh. This could be a whole nother episode in and of itself. The customers who are for you will buy from you. The customers who are not for you we'll buy from someone else. There is plenty of blue ocean for all of us.
Thank you.
And honestly, you're going to hate that customer anyway, because they're just going to be a pain in your ass. So like, let the customers who are not for you go. It's okay to move on for both of you.
billions of people on the planet. There's plenty out there for everybody.
Yeah, it's all a blue ocean. Okay, we could probably talk forever. We just started a whole new episode, so we're going to have to, you know, pause this recording and start over again. But anyway,
there you go.
Tracy, considering all the people that you know or aspire to know, who else is out there? Who else do we need to pay attention to?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to give you three names. I'm going to hit them with you fast. If you like personal development philosophy, I'm not going to give you the usual names. I would challenge you to go read some of Bruce Lee's early books, like the Tao of Jeet Kune Do. He goes deep in the philosophy. He takes you on paths of thinking you probably wouldn't even think of. When it comes to business, two names that pop up into my head are Cody Sanchez, a name for lots of folks know. If you don't, go check her out. And then Chris Corner, who also does entrepreneurial stuff. And both of them come at the same thing from different angles. They believe in boring businesses that make money, but they have completely different angles for the same thing.
You are the second person to mention Cody Sanchez in the last couple of weeks, which is wild. So clearly the universe is telling me I have a lesson to learn to go listen to Cody Sanchez, because you're the second person, I think, in the last week or so
to
mention her. So she's definitely on my list. Tracy, if someone is connecting with you, they love this conversation, they want to follow along or listen to your podcasts that you have. First of all, tell us what those podcasts are and tell us where they can find you online.
Okay, well, we have three, so I'll hit you with the podcast names. There's the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, so obviously I'm all about AI in that realm. There's Your Success DNA, which is a personal development podcast, kind of like it sounds. And then a month old, right, it's about a month and a week old, is Some Unapproved Thinking, where we lean into some of the conspiracy theories out there, not to panic anybody or make you go, oh my God, that's weird, but to kind of break down some patterns that I keep seeing across history that may open your eyes or just make you go, that was interesting. So check out any of those, and I will send you to thedarkhorseentrepreneur.com. All the socials are across the top up there. You can check out any of the podcasts from there, and that's the easy one-stop shop.
Awesome. And if you are looking to connect with me, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can search Alyssa Nolte. If you find the Notorious Plant Killer, you have found the right Alyssa Nolte. I also write on Substack under the publication Alyssa Likes to Talk. And head to my website, alyssanolte.com. Tracy, thank you so much for coming on the show. I loved this conversation. I loved your perspective of we can be ourselves in this world of AI, and that AI is creating opportunity, not just saturating opportunity.
100%. Go out there and make some for yourself.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. There are millions of podcasts out there, and something like 70,000 new episodes are released every single day. It's not lost on me how lucky I am to have such an incredible community who show up and support this show. To be a guest or nominate someone who should join me on the pod, head to alyssanolte.com. And if you're looking for ad-free episodes, you can join me on Substack. I post all new episodes of my podcasts and share appearances on other people's shows, plus bonus content and updates on what I'm working on. Search Alyssa Likes to Talk or tap the link in the show notes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.